The Colts are banged up at the worst time heading into their matchup with the Dallas Cowboys, and it could totally affect how their game is played. We'll tell you exactly why on today's episode of Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. This is Jake Arthur alongside Zach Hicks, and you know the two of us from HorseshoeHuddle.com, of course. Today, we're going to give you our final thoughts before the Colts take on the Cowboys this Sunday and why the Colts' current injuries are going to make life even more difficult. So first things first, we're 2 days into the week of practice so far. Kenny Moore has not practiced at all yet, and it doesn't look like he's going to play probably even beyond this week. Zach Kiefer reported that it looks like his injury is going to keep him out for a little while. He's been seen scooting around the locker room in practice on one of those one-legged scooter thingies. Jelani Woods, last week's star, rookie tight end, 8 catches for 98 yards against the Steelers. He already had the shoulder injury, but now it's the quad, I think they said. He's been out both days of practice, not great. Braden Smith was added on Thursday with whatever this illness is that's going through the building. It's been countless guys. It's been like 7 or 8 guys to this point over the last couple weeks that have missed some time because of this. We've seen some guys play through it. We've seen some guys play poorly through it. And then we've seen some guys have to go to the hospital the morning of with it. So I do not know what to really make of this. Some good news on the injury front. Tight end Kylan Granson, he's been back in full participation both days, as has Quiddy Pay. Quiddy Pay has been their best defensive end this year. He's been sorely missed. So that'll be big to get him back, assuming he plays on Sunday. And just, you know, like recently, if Woods is out, at least they're getting Kylan Granson back. And the roles were reversed just last week. Granson was out and Woods was back. So obviously the most important one, given how good Dallas's defense is, particularly that defensive front. If Braden Smith can't play, that's going to be bad news, Zach.
You know, I think I said it a couple weeks ago or whatever. Matt Pryor is always inevitable. He's like the Jacoby Brissett of offensive linemen, where if he's on your team or just on a roster, he's eventually going to see the field. It doesn't matter how. You know, Jacoby Brissett the last couple of years, you know, with the Colts, always got a chance out there, you know, from Andrew Luck injuries, retirement. And then when Tua was hurt last year in Miami, Jacoby Brissett gets on the field, and then Deshaun Watson stuff this year. That's kind of like Matt Pryor here with the Colts. Is like, we cannot keep this guy off the field. Even if he misses, you know, a game or two or something like that, he's going to be out there. And I think that would probably be the plan for the Colts if Braden Smith were to miss this game with an illness. Matt Pryor would probably go back in at right tackle. And I know from all of our comment sections throughout the year and from what I've seen on social media, I don't think you guys would be a huge fan of that, especially against, you know, arguably a top 10 pass rusher in all of football in DeMarcus Lawrence, who's going to be rushing from that side of the field. So, yeah, I mean, at least the Colts don't have injury guarantees lined up with their core. Oh, wait, they do. So we gotta hope that Braden Smith can go in this game so they can keep Matt Ryan upright and obviously avoid injury at all costs there at quarterback. But yeah, man, if Braden Smith misses this game and we get Matt Pryor versus DeMarcus Lawrence, or, you know, in the couple snaps that Michael Parsons lines up over there, it could be a very, very ugly game that, you know, it probably will be an ugly game regardless, but it could be an even uglier game.
So what you're saying is you would rather see Dennis Kelly than Matt Pryor at right tackle.
I think honestly, look, Dennis Kelly is definitely better than Matt Pryor, but it's not going to be much better against DeMarcus Lawrence or against Michael Parsons, like, or Dorrance Armstrong. Dorrance Armstrong is another really, really good pass rusher that the Cowboys have, and he's like their third. He's like their other guy.
Isn't Fowler still around too? Dante Fowler?
I think they have Fowler there. They have Sam Williams, who's a rookie from Ole Miss, who's also like, he's only had like 60 snaps this year. And in those 60 snaps is like 4 or 5 sacks. Like they have a ton of pass rushing talent off of the edge. And, you know, Braden Smith's obviously played fairly well this year, but Bernard Ryman has struggled. Dennis Kelly has struggled. Matt Pryor really struggled when he was out there. So yeah, hopefully Braden Smith can go this week. And it's not just an absolute bloodbath from that side of the field rushing passer.
Yeah, because as much as people talk about Micah Parsons joined a defensive front that already had DeMarcus Lawrence. DeMarcus Lawrence was a franchise tag level guy, you know, someone they always wanted to bring back, a big money guy. Like DeMarcus Lawrence already was a big name person before Parsons got there. So they got a really deep group of pass rushers there. When I look at this matchup, Colts offense versus the Cowboys defense, it's really just they're going to literally have to run for their lives, because if they can't run the football, they are going to be screwed. Because I think Dallas is 24th, their defense against the run. They allow about 131 yards per game. That's where the Colts are at their best anyways, when it's working. So in your mind, is that the only recipe for success for the Colts, is if they can actually get Jonathan Taylor rolling?
Yeah, and I will say, since Jeff Saturday has taken over as a head coach, we have seen this offensive line blocking a lot better in the running game. Now, there still have been some issues in pass protection, but overall, you know, in the rushing game, I think Will Fries and Bernard Ryman have been plus players in run blocking. And that's going to be vital against this Dallas Cowboys front, because, yes, they might be 24th against the run, but it's not because their front seven struggles against the run. You know, Micah Parsons, despite being a smaller defensive end, you know, he's that hybrid linebacker defensive end who plays really well against the run, as well as the pass. DeMarcus Lawrence is an absolute tank, no matter where he lines up or what he's going against. So he's still tough to block. And then on the interior, they, you know, they have some solid players. I think Jonathan Hankins, they just traded for, is in there. They have Leighton Vander Esch there at linebacker, who's also a pretty solid linebacker. Not as good as what we thought he was going to be after his rookie season, but a very strong run defender as well. Their biggest issues, the Cowboys' biggest issues in run defense, is really seeing those secondary players filling. You know, Trayvon Diggs is definitely more of that playmaker, you know, big play cover guy, and he kind of struggles with his run fits at times. Malik Hooker, I think, has been getting some real snaps for them in the secondary, and we all know that he's not the greatest in his run fits and coming downhill. So it really is getting past that first and second level, and then the Colts can have some good things going in the run game from there. But with how the Colts have struggled to block at that first and second level in the run game this year, that is what's going to be vital, because I don't think we can come into this game saying, oh, the Colts will be able to run on them. No, they have to have success at the first and second level first, and then let Jonathan Taylor do what he does best when he gets to that third level against a secondary that's, you know, a little iffy with their tackling or a little iffy with their run fits. But yeah, I don't think this is a defense where, yes, I know on paper the 24th ranked run defense, I don't think this is a bad run defense. I just think, you know, they've gone against some teams that have been able to get their running backs to that second, third level and let them get out in the space. But yeah, it's going to be key for the Colts in this game for their offensive line to control the point of attack and move guys off the ball. And we really haven't seen that much this season.
No, that what used to be a fixture of that, you know, getting push and actually moving guys at that first level and then getting to the second level and like Taylor not being touched until he's at least near the linebackers. That isn't really a thing this year. One area I was really interested to see your take on, we both probably don't think the passing game is going to be super successful, but where can it be? If it's going to work, like, I'm going to guess Alec Pierce is not going to exist in this game, because those long developing things, the downfield passing game, it's probably just not going to happen. Is it going to have to be tight ends or like quick shots to Pittman and Campbell? Like, where can they throw the ball?
I mean, honestly, again, this pass rush is ravenous. It is an outstanding pass rush. And then they have playmakers on the back end that'll make you pay if you throw when you're getting hit or if you try to force into coverage when that pass rush is closing in on you. And Dan Quinn's done a phenomenal job with this defense. Really, the only way I can really see the Colts having any success in the passing game, because, again, we got to think about this. The Colts, poor offensive line, poor pass blocking, and a quarterback who really doesn't have the arm strength to fit it into really tight windows. And he's not really throwing with the anticipation that we thought to kind of make defenses pay. The biggest thing they can do is just isolate the matchups that they want. You know, if you get Michael Pittman Jr. versus a cornerback two, Jelani Woods or Kylan Granson, you know, if Jelani Woods plays against a safety or against a linebacker, and just taking advantage of those quick matchups and getting the ball out of your hands as fast as possible. I really think that's the only avenue for success in the passing game, because, you know, if they want to throw long developing plays or two man games down the field, you know, like dagger concepts and sales concepts and stuff like that, I think that's kind of out the window in this game, because this pass rush is going to get after you. And if you're trying to throw outside the numbers, or you're trying to fit some things in there with this quarterback versus this secondary, there's going to be a lot of turnovers, because this defense, they love to get after it and they love to take the ball away. So, yeah, the Colts are going to have to play some really old school football in this one if they want to have a chance to win. You know, run the ball, quick passes, isolate matchups on the outside that you like, and just get the ball out of Matt Ryan's hands, because Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dorrance Armstrong, Sam Williams, they're going to be coming, and they're going to be coming all game long.
Yeah, for those of you watching, I hope you're not banking on anything statistically from the Colts offensive players for the most part, like in fantasy or making any picks or anything like that, which brings us to our next sponsor, Prize Picks. Against the Colts defense, Prize Picks has given Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott a more or less than mark of 250.5 passing yards, which honestly seems pretty fair. They didn't even have the Colts on their list yet when I looked to check for some of their highs or lows, if that tells you what the national perception of this one is going to be. Whether you're picking with your head or your heart when it comes to the Colts, it's super easy to do on Prize Picks regardless with their mobile app. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their stat projections, then you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. Prize Picks offers projections on pretty much any sport that you watch, obviously including the MLB, NFL, NBA, all the big ones, but even things like cricket or disc golf. And if you're betting on disc golf, I would love to have a conversation with you, because you're probably very interesting. entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Withdrawals are fast and safe, and Prize Picks is currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, so Zach, I was speaking with Marcus Mosher from Locked On Cowboys for the Thursday show, and he said the Cowboys do tend to play down to their competition at times, and it seems like a lot of times it's their offense. And it just so happens the Colts defense is definitely the better unit on the team, even though if you guys watch us throughout the week, we talked about it's kind of starting to show signs of crackage. You know, you can only carry the team for so long. Really, you know, I think Dak is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He's almost like Tony Romo, where people don't really give him his credit. But just his style of play is something that's given the Colts fits lately. We've seen it with guys like Jalen Hurts and Kenny Pickett, guys who are just willing to run and pick up those third and manageables just with their legs. But Dak's also really able to, down near the red zone, down near the goal line and everything, he can be lethal, just picking and choosing where he's going to run it in. So I don't know if you think the Colts need to adjust how they defend these type of quarterbacks or what, but for my money, Dak is going to be just as lethal keeping drives alive with his legs.
Yeah, you know, it's a creative NFL. That's just the type of NFL we live in. You know, long gone are the days of the pocket passers. You know, your Matt Ryans, your Peyton Mannings, your Tom Brady's, where, yes, these are super efficient quarterbacks. These are great quarterbacks, great anticipation. They can get the ball out of their hands. And as long as they have time, they can make things happen. Today's NFL, these quarterbacks don't need time. You know, they can be pressured within half a second. But as long as they have that creative, you know, that just creative bone in their body where they can make defenders miss, where they can get out of the pocket, where they can throw on the run, they can make big things happen. That's why we're seeing this increase of quarterbacks like Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and Dak Prescott. You know, Dak Prescott, I'm not saying is as good as those guys, but he's definitely a playmaker with the ball in his hands. We saw it in college. We saw the poise, the playmaking in college. He's carried that to the NFL. And honestly, I think he's very slept on as an overall passer. I think he's a phenomenal passer. Yes, he does miss some throws, and yes, he doesn't have the strongest arm in all of the league, but he is very anticipatory. He has great pinpoint accuracy on a lot of passes. And I think he does a lot of great things for that Cowboys offense. And with Kellen Moore as their play caller, with CeeDee Lamb kind of getting up to speed and stuff like that, Dalton Schultz is looking pretty good. Tony Pollard is a huge weapon in that offense now. This is a really, really good offense. And I know, I think since Dak Prescott's come back from his injury, they're the number one scoring offense in the league, including a 40-3 victory over the Minnesota Vikings, who have looked like one of the best teams in football this year. So for everyone who's kind of looking at this game being like, oh, it's going to be a low scoring game. Oh, you know, the Colts might not be able to score on the Cowboys defense, but the Cowboys might struggle against the Colts defense. You know, I'm not saying that that won't happen, but this Cowboys offense is good. It is a really good offense. They have a lot of playmakers. They have one of the better play callers in football, and they have one of the better quarterbacks in football too. So yeah, this Cowboys offense, you know, there's a reason why the Cowboys are probably like what, a top three, a top five team in all of football. They have talent on offense. They have talent on defense. They have good coaching, and they get it done on Sunday. So yeah, I mean, anyone thinking this is going to be like the Chiefs game or something where it's just a low scoring game, there's a lot of mistakes by the other team. This Cowboys team is rolling right now, and their offense is a big part of that.
For yeah, no doubt about it. And you were mentioning Dak's weapons, the guys he has around him. I was curious, are you more worried about Tony Pollard or Zeke Elliott? Because if Zeke Elliott is more so a between the tackles runner in this matchup, DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart are finally not on the injury report. So like maybe they can be even better than they have been, or at least still playing up to their standard. I'm not so worried about the middle of the field, but a guy like Tony Pollard, getting him outside, he has just been otherworldly at times this year on the outside as a pass catcher. Like he's who I'm more worried about, especially picturing instances where Zaire Franklin is lost in coverage, or the occasion where Bobby Okereke has missed out as well. I'm not loving this matchup against Pollard.
Yeah. Tony Pollard, he's very similar to another running back who really, really hurt the Colts a couple weeks ago. And that's Travis Etienne. With the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's who I thought you were going to say.
Yep. We all remember that game where, yes, the Colts had that awesome last second victory, but Travis Etienne just shredded the Colts in that game. And honestly, the whole Jaguars rushing attack was kind of having their way with the Colts defense. But Etienne was breaking off these 20, 30, 40 yard runs. And that's the thing with Tony Pollard, where, yes, Zeke Elliott is still a powerful runner. He's still a guy who can work between the tackles and create yards after contact. Maybe not as much as what he was years ago, but you know, he's still a guy that you have to be worried about. But Tony Pollard, man, if you give him the slightest bit of room, or their offensive line, you know, a very good offensive line, if they hit their down block, or if they catch you with a trap, or they catch you with a wham block or something like that, if you just give Tony Pollard just a little bit of room, he's going to take that 30, 40, 50 yards. And he's got the speed, he's got the explosiveness. And he's also, you know, he can be a nice little pass catcher out of the backfield as well. I don't know if they've used him that much this year in that regard, but he can do that too. I mean, he's kind of like, I hate to say this because I love Nyheim Hines, but he's like the best version of Nyheim Hines. What Nyheim Hines could have been with the Indianapolis Colts if obviously all these other factors didn't come into play. But yeah, Tony Pollard, he's a scary weapon. And honestly, I think CeeDee Lamb is a phenomenal receiver, but Tony Pollard's the biggest weapon outside of quarterback that I'm scared of in this Cowboys offense.
Yeah, a little more versatile because, of course, he can line up in the backfield. He catches the ball. He's just hard to predict. So the Colts, obviously, we mentioned Kenny Moore kind of at the top of the show, not going to play. Given the issues there, and, you know, Isaiah Rodgers wasn't as, you know, used as heavily in favor of special teams, whatever the reason really was last week, and now he's on the injury report with a knee injury, would you have Stephon Gilmore shadow CeeDee Lamb in this one?
I mean, what I would do doesn't really matter, I guess. I would consider
it. It does. I want to yeah. Know. And of course, the Colts don't do what we suggest, so we might as well say it.
Right. No, I mean, look, the Colts are not a very heavy man coverage team. That, yes, they do a lot of match concepts, and they do a lot of concepts that have them doing man responsibilities. But for the most part, they're not going to be in man too often. So just having Gilmore shadow CeeDee Lamb doesn't really make sense if you're going to be bailing into your cover three, if you're going to be bailing into, you know, some deeper coverages and stuff like that. Now, I will say something I do talk about quite a bit on my Twitter and some articles and stuff like that is when the Colts do face like 3-by-1 sets or something where CeeDee Lamb is the backside receiver by himself, that's where you want to have Gilmore lined up over him, because the way that the Colts run their cover three week coverage is their backside defenders, you know, that backside cornerback and their backside linebacker are typically going to be in man coverage. So Bobby Okereke typically would take the running back. And then Stephon Gilmore or Isaiah Rodgers will take that receiver in man coverage. So, yes, with the concerns with Isaiah Rodgers and with the concerns with Kenny Moore being out, whenever CD Lamb is in that backside on 3x1 sets, sure, I want Stephon Gilmore to be the corner over there and be the guy that's going to be kind of facing him in man coverage. But for the most part, I don't think that he will travel. That's just what the Colts have never done, even before Gus Bradley. But yeah, I do expect in those 3x1 sets and stuff, they'll have Gilmore lined up over CD Lamb.
Yeah, it's something Marcus and I talked about, and I kind of said the same thing. They don't tend to have Stephon Gilmore shadow people, but given this matchup and the kind of the situation surrounding it, I was curious if they might change things a little bit. Because I guess Dak also had plenty of success against Gus Bradley last year with the Raiders. So,
right. Yep. So coming up, guys, we are going to talk about our score prediction and what we expect to happen in this wonderful, wonderful primetime game this week. But first, this episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you guys are going to love. Find Think Like a Champion now wherever you get your podcasts. Think Like a Champion is a brand new podcast from Russell Wilson and Audible. Russ is a champion on the field, but off it, we rarely know the grind and the path to greatness or how hard it can be when only half your team comes to your birthday party. You know, I think there's only one other player who's ever had that experience, and, you know, he was a fictional character from a movie. So Russell Wilson, alongside co-host Harry Wilson and the late Trevor Mawad, digs into how high-performance athletes, artists, and leaders push the boundaries of their potential. Each episode features interviews with Olympic medalists, NFL stars, and business leaders. Hosts will swap stories and share proven mental techniques that have gotten the world's most elite performers across the finish line and beyond. Head over to Locked On Presents for a sneak peek of Think Like a Champion, or catch the full series available anywhere that you get your podcast. Available everywhere right now. Audible, get in the game. All right, Jake, so I can see your little score prediction there, and anyone who watched our episode yesterday with Marcus, and you and Marcus, whatever, you had your score prediction. But mm-hmm. just so you can throw it back out there for all the fine people that are tuning into this episode, what do you expect to happen in this wonderful primetime matchup with the Colts?
Yeah, so I'll preface it by saying I'm usually a little generous with the Colts. I tend to like err on the side of optimism with them, you know, that they're going to play to what their potential is. That may not always mean a win, but I'll make it close, what have you. I hate this matchup. I don't like it for them one bit. A lot of you guys probably remember 2018 when the Colts won 23-0. I think it's a lot more realistic that the role could be completely flipped in this one. And for that reason, I have the Cowboys winning 24-6. Now, the Colts defense isn't a pushover. That's why I have it capped at 24 points. But the Cowboys defense is so much better than the Colts offense right now. So I can't see it being a close game, and I don't like the Colts offense in this one.
Yeah, and you know, we said this in the last pregame, you know, and I had a lot of people, because we went live stream, you know, a lot of the live stream comments were saying how negative I am about this team, and I'm so negative. And look, the Colts right now are a 4-7-1 team. They're on par with teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Houston Texans, with the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, those are teams, that's kind of the area that they are right now. And that's just the unfortunate fact of this season, where if you look at the Dallas Cowboys, they are in their Super Bowl window. They have the quarterback. They have the playmakers. They have the offensive line. They have the defense. They have the coaching. This is a very, very good football team. Right now, again, they're a top five team in the entire league, and they are absolutely playing like it. Now, the Colts, they love being the underdogs. They love being counted out. You know, it's something that when Chris Ballard was building this roster, he was definitely looking for that type of guy. And we see it. These are hungry guys that even if they haven't played up to their ability this year, they love to be counted out, and they love to just throw punches and throw haymakers when they are counted out. So it wouldn't shock me if they came out and gave the Cowboys a tougher game than what a lot of people expect. But at the end of the day, this is just a much more talented team that the Colts are playing. And they're playing on the road in Dallas in prime time. When, again, they've gone through so much change and so much adversity this year, where I don't really know how they're going to have the energy to kind of keep it up to upset such a really good football team. So I like where your head's at with that 24-6 prediction. I'm going to go a little bit closer. I'm going to go 21-9 Cowboys. I do think, despite the Colts defense kind of having some of their struggles and not really playing up to par, you know, this past week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I do think they have a little bit of a bounce back this week. I think they do play the Cowboys tough, but like you said, I just don't think this Colts offense can do much against this Cowboys defense. You know, we're looking at a league where defense, or pass defense in particular, is at an all-time high. We're seeing some really, really good pass defense across the league. Like you said, the Cowboys, I think, are allowing only 177 yards passing per game. The Colts are one of the worst passing offenses. Now you're going into Dallas with that passing defense, with that ball-hungry unit that the Cowboys have. I just think it's a really, really bad matchup for the Colts. And I just don't know how they're going to score points in this one. I'd be wonderfully surprised if they can put up more than 10 in this game on offense. But yeah, this Cowboys defense is for real, and the Colts offense is definitely for not.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that there's no chance, because I think there is a recipe for the Colts to have a good game or perhaps even win. The Cowboys do have a bottom 10 run defense. And so if the Colts can get that going, if they're getting some push up front and Jonathan Taylor's clicking, that's one way you can control the team, slow things down. You kind of put Dallas on their heels a little bit. So offensively, if that's going to be your weak spot, regardless, and you can run the ball, great. That gives you an advantage. And then defensively, if they just play their game and kind of shore up some of the things they let slip last week, Kwity Paye being back is huge. Yannick Ngakoue has been on fire lately, so having both those guys, that's really big. Dallas's offensive line isn't the greatest in the world, so that's an area that's good for the Colts. And yeah, shoot, they have a couple injuries that aren't great. Trevon Diggs hasn't practiced yet this week. Michael Gallup hasn't practiced yet this week, so a couple important players for them are not 100%. So it's not a guarantee that Dallas is just going to come and wipe out the Colts. It's a likelihood, but I mean, it is possible for the Colts to win.
Yeah, the one last thing I'll say is I think one of the biggest mismatches in this game that we didn't really spend a ton of time talking about, we have kind of inferred, though, is, you know, Parks Frazier, it's going to be his fourth game calling plays. And, you know, even in that Raiders game, you can kind of see that. I'm not saying he's in over his head or he's a bad play caller. It's just I don't think he was ready for this. And honestly, I bet he would say that after the season as well. You know, this play calling is just a different animal. He's never been asked to do that ever before these last three games. And the offensive scheme has been fairly simplistic. You know, guys are not really able to get open. And the running game, you know, in particular, has kind of been very generic and very bland. One of the biggest mismatches is going to be Parks Frazier in what his fourth game calling plays versus Dan Quinn, who's been doing this for decades. You know, Dan Quinn, who's arguably the best defensive coordinator in all of football, who's probably going to get a head coaching job again after the season. That's a huge mismatch, and just in terms of experience and pedigree. And then obviously, again, talent. The Cowboys defense is still very talented. Even if Trevon Diggs doesn't play, it's still a very, very talented Cowboys defense. So that's the biggest mismatch for me. And again, I think it's going to come down to, can this Colts offense do anything against this Cowboys defense? Because we've seen them struggle against bad defenses. You know, they got shut out by the Jaguars in week two, and the Jaguars defense is not that good. You know, they've struggled to score points against any and all defenses, and the Cowboys defense is a different animal. So, I do expect this to kind of be a tough one for the Colts, but, you know, this is a very proud, very, very proud team. You know, they've always been a proud team. They typically don't roll over and lay an egg, even though this year has been a bit of an aberration from what we've seen the last few seasons. So who knows? They might come out and throw some punches, but again, the Cowboys are in their Super Bowl window. They are pushing to be a top tier team. And the Colts are pushing for a top 10 pick.
Malik Hooker's getting a pick in this one, isn't he?
Let's hope that the Colts don't throw the ball enough to where he can get one in this game. Let's hope that.
I don't want to say I'm rooting for it, but I have always wanted to see him do well. Like, it seems like he's probably going to be extra juiced up for this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are going to be extra juiced up for this one for sure. But yeah, Malik Hooker, you know, former first round pick, seeing him back playing against the Colts. It'll definitely be an interesting game for sure.
Yeah, well, that's all I've got on the matter. Stay tuned with us leading up to the game as we keep you up to date on everything that's going on. And I believe Zach might have some bonus content coming for us.
Yeah, we got some bonus content, talking some draft quarterbacks tomorrow or Saturday morning. We'll be talking some some draft content with some really cool guests. So make sure you guys are checking that out. We're going to be releasing some Saturday episodes going forward. And make sure you guys are following us on social media at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also, subscribe to the Locked On Colts podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcast. And thank you for making us your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys on Saturday.